Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We're continuing our series in the book of Matthew. And this morning, the 8:45 service, we have a little kids section. And this morning, I wanted to give an illustration of the parable that Jesus taught. And so I had three kids and then David. And what I said was, I said, hey, I had $3. Actually, four. I had $4. I said, little young man up here, and I said, I'll give you $1 if you jump 15 times. And so he jumps 15 times, he gets $1. And then Leah was here, and I said, I'll give you $1 if you jump 5 times. And she jumps 5 times, and I give her $1. And David, who was the surrogate third child, I said, if you jump once, I'll give you $1.
Amen.
Okay? That was $1 he was showing in Sunday school this morning. So he did that. And the little one said, that's not right.
I'm older.
Huh? Because he was older. Yeah. But the issue was, why is it not right? Well, because he did less than he did, than I did, in order to get the dollar. And so we go into the illustration, well, did you have $1 when you came in? No. Who had the dollars? Well, you did. Can I determine how I want to give out the dollars? Well, yes. And then another young man, I just gave him $1. It didn't do anything. Folks, we all need salvation. We all have the same promise from God. And so, this sermon title this morning is Fair Enough. Last week we finished out chapter 19 of Matthew, and the title of the sermon was Good Enough. Because a young man had asked Jesus, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? And then Christ told him, he said, look, if you're going to be perfect, he said, well, I've kept all the commandments. No, he hadn't. He said, you want to be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then you'll have a home in heaven, which he couldn't possibly do because he's a sinner. And so he left. And then now Peter comes up and says, hey, we've left everything. What about us? And God makes this promise, said, if you've left all these things behind to serve me, God will reward you. But as we look at the first 19 verses of Matthew chapter 20, it's a carry-on thought from that conversation, which is a carry-on thought from another thing that the disciples said, because they already came to Jesus and said, what? Which one of us is going to be greatest in heaven? And, you know, it is about power, isn't it? It is about position. It is about me getting more stuff. So, we often think that life is unfair, don't we? He gets more than me. Well, I don't get treated the same way. Maybe that. Ever been going down the road and you're both speeding? You get pulled over and the other one is. What's your answer? Well, he was doing it too. It's not fair. Why are you giving me a ticket? They were going, look at all this other traffic going down there. Were you doing the wrong thing? There's a consequence for that. But the real thing is that when we're dealing with the world system, it is unfair. The only fair thing in this world is being unfair. We've heard that. Now we're going into another political cycle. We're hearing that. It's unfair that this group gets this and this group. It's unfair that these people don't have it. And they should just... We hear that all the time. It's unfair. You know, the problem is when we come to a point where we think God's unfair to us. And I think that probably every one of us in here at one time say, God, you're mistreating me. Why is this person over here getting a blessing and I'm not getting that benefit either? And we kind of say, God, it's unfair. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, the prophet is telling the nation of Israel, he says, yet ye say the way of the Lord is not equal. You're not fair. You're not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? Are not my ways fair and your ways what? Unfair. And here was the deal. If you go and you read the rest of that chapter, it's about, well, God says, don't have this proverb that the children's teeth are set on edge, that we're undergoing all this other, we're going to undergoing all this tribulation and all this problem. He says, your sin's doing it. You're having issues because of your sin. And we think that we can not listen to God and that He's going to bless us. That's not that He's going to bless us. That's not the case. God promised. He said, look, He says, if you do this, I will do this. But if you do against this, then I will be against you. And we think, well, when I'm not getting the blessings I see, I might think that God is unfair. We pray for all these things that is for basically physical needs, but really we should pray for God fix me. God fix me, because if I'm aligned to God, then everything's going to be fine and I'm going to get the blessings that God wants me to have and I'll be satisfied with that. But here in Ezekiel, part of them are already in captivity in Babylon. And they're still complaining to God that God's ways are not fair. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 4. When the nation of Israel has been brought out of Egypt and they're going through the wilderness and God's given them food to eat and water to drink and protected them from their enemies. He's given them all these blessings. He just wants them to follow the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He says, He is the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. God is fair. God is fair. So as we go into this parable of the laborers in the vineyard, we need to understand the context. Christ has talked and taught to His disciples about being great in heaven. It's not about being great in heaven. It's about getting there. That's the real important thing. Do you know for certain you're going to heaven? What you get in heaven is going to be gravy. The issue is, are you going to go there? Amen. And that's what He said. He says, look, He says, except you become as little children, you're not going to enter in the kingdom of heaven. When they came up to Him and said, which one of us is going to be greatest in heaven? So He's dealing with this context. And the last verse of chapter 19 gives a reason for Christ giving this parable. It says in verse 30, it says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Christ has already taught in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, he that is, that doesn't keep the least of these commandments, he'll be what? Least in the kingdom of heaven. And so He's already talking about, you've got to obey God. You've got to follow Him. So Christ is dealing with this issue of being fair. Being fair. And so this is the context. The content is the parable. So, in verses 1 through 12, we see this. In verses 1 through 7, we see this call to laborers for the vineyard. It says, for the kingdom of heaven, okay, is there anybody that misunderstood what Christ is talking about here? He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And He says, it's like. So if you want to get to heaven, if you want to see what heaven's like, you need to pay attention here. Because God in the flesh, is going to give some principles here. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When you have harvest time, you had a bunch of migrant people that would come in and they would get hired on to do the harvest. You could go downtown San Antonio and there's places where you can find day laborers to work for you for the day. It's been like that for mankind, for history. And so this husbandman, this good man of the house, he has a vineyard. It's time of harvest, and he wants workers to work in the harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We keep on saying as we come through this, these passages in Matthew, that there's other things that should be ringing in our memory from before. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So a work day there was from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. That was the day. So he goes out at 6 o'clock in the morning, he finds some people that are out there looking for work, and he says, okay, go in my field and you'll get a day's wages, which is what a penny was worth, a denarius. He says, and he went about the third hour. What time is that now? If 6 is the first hour, the third hour would be what? 9. Math in public, okay? So he goes out about 9 o'clock and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. You know, you're standing idle, you're not useful for anything. God wants to make us useful. The husband, the owner of the house, the owner of the farm, he wanted people to be useful. So he says, and he said unto them, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. See something different? There's no price agreed to. Verse 5. Again he went out about the 6th and the 9th hour. So at noon, goes back to the place, finds more idle people, say, hey, come work. 9th hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Come out, give them the same deal, whatever's right. Come work in the field, I'll give that to you. And about the 11th hour, which is 5 o'clock. There's 1 hour left of the workday. Now, there are probably people at your workplace that only work about 1 hour a day. They get paid as much as I do. It's not what?
Fair.
Not fair. It's not fair. But we're not talking about the world. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven. It says, in about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you not worked all day? Why haven't you found something useful to do? And he says, I'll give you something useful to do. Go work in my vineyard for an hour. They say, well, because no man's hired us. He said, okay. He said, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever's right, that shall ye receive. So there's several things that we need to understand here in basically context about this parable. First of all, Christ was using common references that anyone that had any Old Testament knowledge should understand what he's talking about. First of all, he clearly says the kingdom of heaven is like this. And then he says, there's a householder. Who's the householder? God is. He owns it all. And then there's a vineyard. You could go into the book of Isaiah, and it clearly talks about the nation of Israel being God's vineyard. And that he's looking for people who will be vine dressers in his vineyard and work in his vineyard. So they should have clearly understood that that this parable here has a bigger meaning than about being fair. It's talking about the kingdom of heaven. There's a common task. Everybody was asked to go work, was to go work in a certain place doing a certain thing for the householder. And it says the kingdom of heaven is like this. So we're supposed to be working for him. And the last group, he says, why have you been standing around all day? Because no one's hired us. No one's called us. He says, okay, go work. Folks, God's got a vineyard and he wants us to work in it. Amen. And so there's a common task And that's to do what the householder wants. And it's a continuing task. The guys that he hired at 6 o'clock in the morning, he says, I'll give you a penny a day. He says, I'm not going to give a penny this day. He's basically saying, hey, you come work for me today, you can go work for me tomorrow. Then you go work for me the next day. And every day you're going to get a penny. So it's a continuing task. Some people think that working for God is a one-time thing. It's not. It's a continual task. And there's always a need for more laborers. Because there's more people. There's more places. There's more things to do. There's more ministry. There's more things. There's always need for laborers. Some can get in at the ground floor. Some get in later on in their life. Now let's think about this. The only one that he made a contract with was the first ones. The only country that, or the only people that God made a covenant with, he made a covenant with Abraham, he made a covenant with Moses, he made a covenant with David. He said, if you do these things, I will send you a Messiah. If you do these things, you will understand what the kingdom of heaven is when he shows up. When Christ came and he started his ministry, after he was baptized, he said what? Repent for the what? Kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand because he's coming. So I find it interesting that when you study this parable, the very first laborers that God goes to talk to, he has a contract with him. And he says it's a continual thing. You need to continually do this until the work is done. That could be applied. Everybody else just got what was fair, which involves what? Faith. Which involves faith. And isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what Christ was talking about? Not about doing this and doing this. It's about having faith and just following what God tells you to do. The common condition. They were all in need of work. They were all in the place where they could be called to work. They were all going to be promised a payment for the work. All those were promised to do the thing, and the cost required was going to come not from them. They don't have to pay to work. Although today you almost have to pay to work. The householder had all the resources. He was going to be the one that was going to provide this. So God's the one that's going to provide this for people who work in his field in the world. And there's some that's going to work all the time. There's some that he's made an agreement with, which was the Jews, the nation of Israel. And there's some that's going to come later on. And they're not going to work as long, but they're still going to do the what? Work. And we all do the same work. What? To glorify God and to bring and to further the kingdom of heaven. So now comes the sticky part. Remember how this all started in verse 30? For the first shall be last, and the last shall be what? First. So God's going. So it just so you get this, watch this. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, call the laborers and give them to their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now, if you only worked an hour, you would expect what? Would you expect a full day's wage?
No.
You wouldn't expect it at all. You would expect maybe some sort of prorated thing, maybe an hour's worth of work. A day's wage was a penny or denarius. It was the wage of a Roman soldier for a day. Roman soldiers were on duty what? 24/7. Those who've been in the military understand that. So, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. How do you think that made them feel? Wow, what a deal. This is great. I wasn't expecting this kind of a blessing. But working in the husband's and the good man's thing, I get all these benefits. So the person that worked 3 hours, do you think he's going to get a full wage? He didn't think that. And so he gets paid a full day's wage. Hey, that's great. The guy that works 6 hours, he gets more than what he bargained for. The guy that worked 9 hours, he gets more. Now, if you're the person that's been out in the field all this time, how are you going to feel about this? Well, if they got all this, I deserve what? More. See, that was the problem in the nation of Israel. They thought they were God's chosen people, so they deserved more. Okay? This isn't Geico. Okay? No, they get what God has intended them to get. They get the promise. They have the covenant. But when the first came, they supposed, because they say God is fair the way I think God should be fair, and not that God is just. It says, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. What? I worked all day long, and you gave this dude that only worked an hour the same thing that I got? That's not right. No, they were very spiritual people. Said, oh, I'm so glad. My God, what was agreed to me? How do you think they reacted? Okay? So here's the deal. We all react worldly at times, don't we? We talk about, we may use some super hyper spiritual words, but boy, when it really comes down to it, it's revealed out of our heart how we really think. So, everybody gets what? The same thing. Everyone's treated the same way. You know why? Because with God, there is no respect of persons. Doesn't matter that you can speak 5 different languages, you get the same thing. Doesn't matter that you've been a Christian for 20 years, you get the same thing that a Christian for one day gets. So all those super spiritual people, the workers for all 12 hours, they were just delighted that they got what they contracted for. No. Verses 11 and 12 says, but when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house. How many times have we murmured against our parents' kids? How many times have we murmured against our boss worker? How many times have we murmured against God, Christian? Say, this is not right. That person's in sin and they didn't get punishment. I'm over here. I'm struggling with my spiritual life. Well, you've got to get your spiritual life cleaned up. So they murmured. But I'm spiritual. See, this is the whole thing. There's scribes and Pharisees and all religious leaders in this crowd too. They're hearing this and they should be pricked in their heart about what's happening. Saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour and thou hast made them equal unto us, which has borne the burden and heat of the day. You know what? They got the privilege of working in God's field all day long. They got to see the promise delivered. Who was the promise delivered to? Only the first. Only the first people. They were promised a penny. They got exactly what they were promised to. Everybody else went out working expecting to get something, and they got a lot more than what they got. Isn't that what heaven is? Isn't that what a relationship with Jesus Christ gives us? Something more than what we would ever bargain for, but it was promised. It's promised. The problem is, in our carnal way of doing things, We want to be treated differently. The disciples wanted to be treated differently. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious, they wanted to be treated better than everybody else because of their position. We all want to be recognized for what we do. But in God's eyes, there's no respect to persons. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But we don't want to be treated the same. We want more. We want more. So there's the parable. And now you need to understand the concepts behind it. Now, the disciples, Christ is not going to give and say, what do you think this means? Christ doesn't say, what do you think? Because see, our thinking gets us off track when we start thinking about God and be by fear. He says His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I just need to trust Him for doing the right thing. I need to trust Him for being fair to me. You know something? I'm glad that I don't get what I deserve. I'm glad that God is merciful and just. For the grace of God, there go I. And the Old Testament says, if it was us, we'd all be what? If it wasn't for the mercy of God, we'd all be what? Consumed. We would have no hope. Boy, everybody that was out there in the field was working for a hope. They said, boy, if we do this, at the end of the day, there's going to be a reward. There's going to be rest at the end of the day. That's what Christ is talking about. Not about working for salvation. Talking about what God gives you for following Him. So, in Matthew chapter 20, verses 13 through 16, he says, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. See, even in the midst of being murmured against, God calls us friend. Boy, we get somebody, have a little bit of problems with a relationship with somebody else. They're not our friend anymore. We take them off of Facebook. I'm not going to be your friend anymore. But we expect God to be our friend all the time. He says, for I did you no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? I fulfilled my promise. You did your work. Had you left the field early, you wouldn't have got paid. Had you not followed through, you would not have received the reward. Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as I also do. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is I evil because I am good? Remember the rich young ruler? All these things are kind of coming together. So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few what? Chosen. There'll be a lot of people that think they're going to go someplace and they're not going to wind up there. There are going to be a lot of people who think that they deserve more from God, but when they get there, they're going to find out that everything they did for God, they did in their own right, in their own motivation, their own strength, and therefore they don't get no reward except heaven. Everyone that believes in God, guess what? Heaven. Everybody who believes in Christ gets heaven. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord as a gift. Amen. Those dudes that worked 1 hour, they didn't expect a whole day's wage. For them, that was a gift. So in this concept thing where the husband is talking, the good men of the house is talking to the first, basically is God talking to the nation of Israel here. He's talking to the ones that are religious. They're trying to work their way. They're trying to be good enough to go there. He says there's some truths that you need to understand about God. First of all, he's a God that stands by His promise. In the parable, said to those 6 o'clock workers, he said, you work all day, you get what? A penny. That's exactly what they got. You trust God for what He says, He's going to deliver. The second thing is, He is the one that has power. He's the one that sets the rules. You don't. He's the one that determines what fair is. You don't. He's just. We're not. He's holy. We're not. He's so much above us. He's the one that has power. He's the one that sets everything up. And then he's the one that does no wrong. He says, I didn't do you any wrong. You got the privilege of working in my field because you followed my promise. Folks, everyone that follows the promise of God gets the opportunity to work in the field, but you'll never get the rewards unless you work. Don't be the one standing out. I guarantee you at the end of the day, there's people out there standing, well, no one hired me today. Did you go looking for work? No. Were you there when they came to call? Well, yeah, but I didn't listen. He that hath ears to hear what? Let him hear. How many opportunities do we let just go by when God has these things and we're just idle? In verse 16, there's three truths for us. Remember, he's trying to get out of people who are steeped in religion to understand that heaven is not about working your way there. It's a promise from God that he delivers on. Amen. And the first truth is this: our reward in heaven is not determined by the amount of time or prominence of our position. I get to heaven the same way you do, by believing in Christ. Just because I have this position doesn't make me any better than you. I am responsible to you. In fact, I'm supposed to be your servant. And we're all supposed to be servants one to another. Amen. And if we look about position to make us feel better, get that out, because he will exalt the humble. He resisteth the proud. Secondly, our reward is determined by our faithfulness to the task that God has given us. Those guys that worked 1 hour, they did exactly what they were asked to do, and they got a reward. Those guys that worked 3 hours, 6 hours, 9 hours, 12 hours, they got that. You know the benefit of the ones that worked longer? They could do more for the master. Because who are we supposed to glorify? It's not about us, it's about him. Amen. We ought to count it a privilege that we can share the gospel. We ought to count it a privilege that we can minister to other people. We ought to count it a privilege that we can pray for one another. We ought to count it a privilege that we can do all these things. Amen. Because he's called us. All who believe in God's grace are one. Last week we talked about that in Ephesians chapter 2, he's broken down the middle wall partition between us and made us all one. In Ephesians chapter 4, there's one faith, one God, one baptism. There's just one. So it doesn't matter if you're a Gentile believer or a Jewish believer. You're still going to the same place. If you believe the way God said, and take his promise. Think of the disciples. The disciples walked with Christ for 3 years. They were allowed to do great things because God commissioned them. Christ commissioned them to go and raise the lame, heal the sick, cure death, raise the dead, cast out demons. They got the ability to walk with Christ for 3 years. They're going to heaven the same way that the thief on the cross did. The thief on the cross, basically, he lived his life running away from God, doing everything else. It winds up getting him crucified on the cross for his crimes. And he realized that. He realized who Christ was beside him. And he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, he didn't walk with Christ for 3 years. He didn't do everything. Get it? Folks, the whole point about it is, As Paul said, I want to know among you Christ and Him crucified. That's the whole, that's the purpose. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have a relationship with Him. If you do not have a relationship, you will not go to the kingdom of heaven. If you don't have a relationship with Him, you cannot do any good for Him. You may think you're doing good, but in God's eyes, you're not. Because all of our righteousness is filthy rags. For the Christian, there by the grace of God, there go I. We should be happy that we're all going the same place. And if we're all going the same place, we all need to be going the same direction. And we all finish in a dead heat in heaven. We do. We all finish in the dead heat. We're supposed to run with patience the race that is set before us, laying aside all the sin and every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. And we're supposed to help one another and lift up one another. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So it's comfort with one, a comfort that we're all comforted with. Folks, that's what we're supposed to do. We all finish in a dead heat. We all get to stand before God one day, if you know Him. And it's not about how many souls you won. It's the fact that you did what God told you to do and you witnessed. But I guarantee you, if you do nothing, that's what's going to happen when you get to heaven and the rewards are given out. Well, I participated. I ought to get a reward for just being... No, there is. You get heaven. But what about the other stuff? We need to work for it. Well, the kingdom of God is possible because of Christ's cost, price that He paid on Calvary. So every time that Christ gives His disciples a little bit more insight about what the kingdom of heaven is, He basically talks about His mission. This is the fourth time that now He's talked to the disciples about what's going to happen to Him. In verses 17 through 19, it says that Jesus is going up to Jerusalem. He doesn't go to Galilee anymore. He's on His way to Calvary. And disciples are there with Him. And as they're walking down the road, getting closer and closer to Jerusalem, He takes His disciples aside. He says, you need to understand the cost that I'm going to have to pay so you can have the kingdom of heaven. He said, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said to them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn Him to death, and shall deliver Him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify Him, and the third day He will rise again. You know, that wasn't being fair to God. That wasn't being fair, and He did nothing wrong. This morning in our Sunday school class with the teens, we talked about that Pilate wanted nothing to do with this because he knew that Christ had done nothing wrong. That wasn't fair to him. But you know something? He loved us so much that He did it for us. Amen. Is that fair enough? Is that fair enough for you? Is it fair enough to understand that Christ died on the cross for your sins? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? If you died right now, would you go to heaven? Or you say it's something that you're still working on? You can't work far enough, fast enough, and long enough to get there. We work because we're going there. So if you don't know Him as your Savior today, when we have a verse of invitation, or after the services, come talk to me, come talk to somebody else. We'll show you from God's Word how you get saved. But for the Christian, are we looking about us, or are we looking about God? Are we looking about how much God's going to reward us, or are we going to look about how much we can glorify Him? Where's your priority? Is it about you or about Him? If our priorities are backwards, get that fixed today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. I ask that You'd be with this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to follow You in spirit and truth. Father, I pray that if someone does not know You as Savior, that today they'll come to that saving knowledge of You. Father, for us as Christians, Lord, help us, Lord, not to look at other people, Lord, that we will run our own race. We will build our own faith. we will do our own task for as long as you call us to. We thank you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.